Imagine for a moment a colossal industrial octopus, you know, sprawling across continents, its powerful tentacles deeply embedded in everything from global shipping to energy distribution. Mm-hmm. Now, picture that same octopus, but undergoing an almost unbelievable radical transformation. It's not just evolving, it's deliberately shedding those heavy, complex limbs, slimming down, and reinventing itself into something entirely different. A sleek, agile investment shark armed with a truly immense hoard of cash.
That's a really vivid image, and it's perfect for what we're talking about today.
Well, today we're diving deep into a real-world corporate story that mirrors this exact astonishing metamorphosis. We're talking about a company that has executed one of the most audacious strategic pivots we've seen in years.
That's right. We are, of course, talking about Bolloré SE, the French conglomerate that has pulled off what many would consider an incredible strategic reinvention right before our eyes. Over the past few years, they've transitioned from being a diversified industrial and logistics powerhouse,
a real giant,
into what is now, at its core, a cash-rich investment holding company. It's a profound shift, one that fundamentally alters their identity, their risk profile, and, you know, their future trajectory.
And it's a story we really want to unpack for you, our listener. For this deep dive, we're drawing from an incredibly detailed investment analysis, which means we're giving you a direct shortcut to understanding this new Bolloré.
Exactly.
Our mission today is to go beyond just what changed. Mm-hmm. We want to understand, crucially, why these changes were so strategically brilliant, what they truly mean for the company's future, and, most importantly, where the real value lies. Or perhaps where it's still hidden within its newly structured complex portfolio.
Yeah, and we'll explore what are now considered their crown jewels, like their very significant stake in Universal Music Group, which is, I mean, a global leader, no less. We'll also look at some of their high-stakes bets, such as their venture into next-generation battery technology, a real moonshot, potentially. And of course, we absolutely have to discuss that enormous cash pile that is, quite frankly, shaking things up in the investment world.
That war chest.
It's a narrative built on calculated risk, bold divestitures, and a relentless focus on unlocking shareholder value, but, you know, for a new era of the company.
So with that captivating vision of the new Bolloré in mind, let's zoom out and truly unpack the how. What was the first monumental step in this metamorphosis, this transformation from a sprawling octopus to a focused investment shark?
Well, the absolute fundamental shift here is that Bolloré SE is no longer primarily about running those massive capital-intensive operations like logistics. It's truly transformed into a pure-play investment holding company.
Right.
And this wasn't a gradual drift either. This profound shift took place in a remarkably short time frame, really between 2022 and 2024, driven by a series of very deliberate, very strategic divestitures.
It feels almost like a personal finance makeover, but on a corporate scale.
Precisely. You can genuinely think of it like that, but for a multi-billion euro corporation, it's as if they decided to sell off all their high-maintenance, capital-intensive properties, imagine huge factories, global shipping fleets, and then took that substantial cash to invest in a streamlined, high-potential portfolio of assets.
So the focus shifts completely.
Yeah, it moved from a relentless pursuit of operational excellence in diverse industries to an astute mastery of capital deployment. This isn't just a pivot, it's kind of a blueprint for how a legacy giant can outmaneuver disruption by literally dismantling itself to rebuild for a new era. What's truly fascinating is the sheer audacity of it.
And what defines this new Bolloré? What are the new anchors of its portfolio? Because it's a very different beast now.
It really is.
The analysis highlights a substantial stake in Universal Music Group, or UMG, which is, as you said, a global leader in the music industry.
Mm-hmm, the crown jewel.
Then there's a newly restructured European media empire that emerged from the deconstruction of Vivendi, which includes the Canal Plus Group, Havas, and the Louis Hachette Group. These are not minor players. They're significant parts of the European media landscape.
Exactly. And beyond media, they still maintain the stable, remarkably cash-generative Bolloré energy business. And then there's the truly high-risk, high-reward bet on cutting-edge solid-state battery technology through their Blue Solutions subsidiary.
Quite a mix.
It's a truly interesting and diverse mix. On one hand, you have these globally dominant secular growth plays like UMG, riding long-term trends. Then you have established European media powerhouses, Alongside that, a traditional energy business that generates consistent, predictable cash. And finally, this almost venture capital style investment in a disruptive tech play that could be a game changer.
So diversified, but distinct pillars.
Yeah, diversified, yet each pillar is quite distinct in its risk-reward profile, offering both stability and potential explosive growth.
And then the war chest. This is where the financial transformation really hits home, and it's quite astonishing.
It really is.
We're talking about going from a net debt position of $3.4 billion at the end of 2021
right.
to a formidable net cash position of over $5.3 billion by year-end 2024.
Wow. That's an astonishing swing of almost $9 billion in just 3 years. It's like they found a giant buried treasure chest and are now deciding how to spend it.
It truly is a remarkable feat of financial engineering and strategic execution. This cash pile, which is equivalent to a significant portion, over 30%, in fact, of the company's entire market capitalization.
Over 30%.
Provides an unparalleled degree of financial flexibility. Think about that for a moment. Over a third of their market value is just pure cash.
It gives management immense power for future value creation. This cash isn't just sitting there idly. It's a powerful tool, a strategic asset in itself, waiting to be deployed.
Which brings us to the central question for investors and analysts, the very crux of understanding this transformation: unlocking value. We often hear about the holding company discount, right?
Mm-hmm.
For those perhaps less familiar, the holding company discount, as it's known, is a bit like buying a basket of premium fruits for less than the price of each fruit individually. Why? Because the market often penalizes complexity or a lack of clarity, failing to fully value all the juicy assets hidden inside that corporate basket.
Exactly. It's where a company's market capitalization trades below the sum of its underlying asset values, often due to that complexity, opacity, or maybe the market just not fully appreciating all the individual parts.
And for Bolloré, the core investment question now is precisely about how they'll apply this astute capital allocation with that massive cash pile to narrow that discount.
Right. What catalysts could they activate to unlock significant shareholder value? Because with this new structure and cash position, the potential to re-rate the stock to bring its market value closer to the true sum of its parts is enormous if managed correctly.
Okay, let's unpack this. So with that in mind, let's trace the journey that led to this radical transformation. We need to really deconstruct the old Bolloré and understand the strategic overhaul that took place between 2022 and 2024. What was the absolute primary driver here?
The primary driver, the cornerstone of this entire metamorphosis, was Bolloré's strategic exit from its vast logistics and transportation empire. This wasn't just a simple sale. It was a masterstroke in timing and execution, truly redefining the company's core identity and setting the stage for everything that followed.
Shedding those operational limbs.
Exactly. It was the first and perhaps most dramatic shedding of the octopus's operational limbs.
And these were landmark deals, truly monumental. First up, the sale of 100% of Bolloré Africa Logistics to the MSC Group.
Oh, that was huge.
This deal was completed on December 24th, 2022, based on an enterprise value of $5.7 billion. Bolloré received $5.1 billion for the shares, plus an additional $0.6 billion repayment of current accounts.
And that division was incredibly significant historically, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It was the historical heart of Bolloré's presence on the African continent, generating $2.6 billion in revenue in 2022 alone, controlling a massive network of ports and logistics corridors across numerous countries. This had been their legacy for decades, a truly defining part of their identity.
Right. And hot on the heels of that, they finalized the sale of 100% of the global Bolloré logistics business to CMA CGM.
Another massive deal.
Yeah, that deal closed on February 29th, 2024 for a purchase price of $4.85 billion. This single transaction was estimated to generate a colossal consolidated net capital gain of approximately $3.6 billion for Bolloré in the 2024 financial year.
Wow, $3.6 billion gain.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary value crystallized very quickly.
Absolutely. Turning long-held tangible assets into pure cash, basically.
The timing, as you said, seems incredibly astute. It's almost too perfect. Did they just get lucky riding the tailwinds of the supply chain crisis, or was this entirely strategic foresight? Because these sales truly capitalized on what analysts would call peak valuation for logistics assets. The post-pandemic era, with its unprecedented supply chain disruptions and soaring freight rates, had artificially inflated the value of these kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
So Bolloré sold at what might have been the absolute top of the market. It's the corporate equivalent of selling your house just before the housing bubble bursts a masterclass in market timing?
That's a great question, and I'd argue it was a blend of both, but with a heavy tilt towards strategic genius. They definitely recognized the cyclical nature of the logistics industry and the extraordinary, perhaps unsustainable, valuations driven by those temporary market conditions.
Okay.
But beyond crystallizing substantial value at an optimal moment, these divestitures significantly de-risk the company. Think about it. They exited businesses that were not only capital intensive, requiring continuous heavy investment in infrastructure, but also operationally complex.
Right. Managing global supply chains is tough.
Exactly. It means exposure to the inherent cyclicality of global trade, wild fluctuations in commodity prices, and the very real geopolitical and regulatory risks associated with operating in dozens of different countries, particularly across Africa. This move simplifies their operational footprint immensely, making them far less susceptible to global trade winds.
So what's the fundamental identity shift that results from this?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a complete overhaul.
It is. It really means a transition from being a hands-on operator, a company with deep industry expertise, continuous capital expenditure needs, and a vast global workforce spread across the globe, to becoming what we're now calling a pure investor.
And this has a profound implication for you, the listener, and for any investor considering Bolloré.
Definitely. Their competitive advantage is no longer about moving physical goods around the world. It's about moving capital with precision. Bolloré's success is now contingent on the acumen of its leadership in capital deployment, not on the day-to-day efficiency of its freight forwarding operations.
So it demands a completely new analytical approach.
Totally. You're no longer analyzing a logistics company. You're analyzing a holding company whose primary skill is the effective allocation of that enormous war chest. It truly marks the first act of this corporate transformation.
Now let's move to the second major pillar of their transformation, the deconstruction of Vivendi. This was a massive undertaking, separate from the logistics sales, but equally strategic, designed to unlock media value.
Yes, and this particular initiative was, interestingly, initiated by Vivendi's own management, specifically to address its persistent conglomerate discount. Vivendi itself was a highly diversified media group, a conglomerate in its own right.
Another basket of fruits.
Exactly. The market wasn't giving it full credit for the sum of its parts. So their solution was a complex spin-off project that culminated in December 2024. This resulted in the creation of four independent, publicly listed entities.
Four separate companies. Wow.
The idea was to unbundle that complexity, allowing each business to be valued on its own merits.
So we're talking about the Canal Plus Group, then Havas, the global communications giant, followed by the Louis Hachette Group, which includes publishing giants like Lagardère, and then a smaller residual Vivendi holding company that manages its remaining investment portfolio.
Yeah.
It feels like a corporate jigsaw puzzle being meticulously pulled apart.
It does. And the impact on Bolloré, who held approximately 29.9% in the pre-spin Vivendi, is significant and strategic. They now directly hold about 30.4% in each of Canal Plus Group, Havas, and Louis Hachette Group. They also retain a roughly 29.3% stake in the new streamlined Vivendi.
Right.
This shift means that for accounting purposes, under international standards, Bolloré effectively says, we're no longer pulling Vivendi's strings directly. They're still a major shareholder, but their financial statements now reflect a partner, not a controller. This is a subtle but important detail for how we view their consolidated earnings.
Right, using the equity method.
Exactly. They record their share of net income rather than consolidating full revenues and expenses.
This enhanced transparency is a huge catalyst, isn't it? Because a major cause of those holding company discounts is precisely asset opacity and complexity, that black box problem where you just can't see the true value.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is that this spinoff directly attacks that black box problem many holding companies face by dismantling a major multifaceted asset like Vivendi into clear, publicly traded pure play businesses. It makes the sum of the parts, or SOTP, valuation for Bolloré significantly more transparent and defensible.
Easier to calculate the value.
Much easier. A larger portion of Bolloré's gross asset value is now composed of securities with real-time observable market prices. This enhanced transparency should make it increasingly difficult for the market to justify a persistently large discount on Bolloré's shares, thereby acting as a direct catalyst for a potential re-rating of the stock. It's a powerful self-help measure.
Gives investors much more clarity. Okay. With the old structure dismantled and the new pieces clearly laid out, Let's dive into the core holdings, the pillars of value that define the new Bolloré. And at the absolute top of that list is their media and entertainment empire.
Yes.
Which is quite a shining crown jewel.
Absolutely. Within that, Universal Music Group, or UMG, is truly the crown jewel.
Mm.
Bolloré's stake in UMG is arguably its single most valuable asset. UMG is the undisputed global leader in the music industry, possessing a vast and iconic catalog of recorded music and publishing rights that are quite literally irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable.
Think of everything from the Beatles to Taylor Swift, all within their orbit.
And it benefits from what we call secular growth. When we say secular growth, we mean it's not a fleeting trend. This is about deep, fundamental changes, like the global shift to subscription music streaming.
Right, the streaming revolution.
It's like a tide that just keeps rising, lifting UMG's boat regardless of short-term economic squalls. This isn't just a fad. It's a fundamental change in how people consume music, providing UMG with incredibly predictable, recurring, and high-margin revenue streams.
Yeah, that catalog truly is an irreplaceable toll booth, as the analysis puts it, giving them a persistent claim on the future of music consumption.
And Bolloré clearly believes this because they actively increased their holding, right?
They did. They acquired an additional 9.2 million shares for $197 million in July 2024, showing real conviction in this asset.
And the transparency here is a key benefit. UMG is publicly traded.
Exactly. On Euronext Amsterdam under the ticker UMGAS, so its market value is always clear and observable. As of August 2025, UMG's market capitalization stood at approximately $52.6 billion, providing a very transparent and liquid valuation for Bolloré's substantial stake. Takes away much of the guesswork.
Next up, we have Canal Plus Group, the European pay TV powerhouse, where Bolloré now has a direct 30.4% holding.
A very strategic asset for them.
Yes, it's the leading pay TV operator in France, with a deep moat built on exclusive premium content, things like highly sought-after live sports rights and first-window access to major films, which keeps subscribers locked in.
And what's particularly interesting about Canal Plus is its aggressive international expansion strategy. They are explicitly targeting high-growth markets where pay TV penetration is still relatively low, offering significant runway.
So, looking beyond France.
Definitely. They are already the leading subscription TV operator in 19 French-speaking African countries, and they have a strong presence in Vietnam and Myanmar. This strategy is further evidenced by their ongoing mandatory takeover offer for MultiChoice, a major pay TV provider across Africa.
Ah, right.
And their significant stakes in Viaplay in Scandinavia and Viu in Southeast Asia. This gives Bolloré exposure to significant long-term growth in untapped markets, offsetting maturity in their core French market.
And then there's Havas, the global communications challenger. Bolloré's direct 30.4% stake here exposes them to the dynamic global advertising and communications market. It's not just a small agency, is it?
Not at all. Havas is one of the world's largest communications groups, though it is admittedly smaller than the true industry giants like Publicis, Omnicom, and WPP.
Still a major player, though.
Oh, yes. It operates across three primary business lines: Havas Creative, Havas Media, and Havas Health, covering the full spectrum of client needs. Their converged strategy, unveiled in 2024, aims for a more integrated, client-centric approach, which is crucial in a rapidly evolving media landscape.
And potential value there, too.
Well, while it might trade at a valuation discount to its larger peers, that could actually represent a potential source of value for Bolloré, as the market might eventually close that gap.
Okay. And finally, within the sprawling media portfolio, we have the Louis Hachette Group and the residual Vivendi entity.
Right. Louis Hachette Group is home to their publishing assets, most notably La Gardère, which is a global leader in book publishing and even travel retail. So they still have a hand in traditional media.
Interesting.
And the residual Vivendi entity, post-spinoff, now essentially functions as an investment company itself, holding a diverse portfolio of stakes, including those in Telecom Italia, Banijay Group, and Media for Europe.
So its value comes from those underlying stakes.
Exactly. The valuation of these particular assets for Bolloré is derived directly from the underlying market capitalizations of those listed companies, offering another layer of transparency. Clean and clear.
Moving on from media, we come to the industrial and energy assets, which represent Bolloré's more traditional roots and a different kind of value proposition.
Yes, and Bolloré Energy is truly a cash cow within this portfolio.
The cash cow.
It's a key player in oil logistics, and the independent distribution of petroleum products, especially domestic fuel oil, in France and parts of Europe. While its core market faces a secular decline due to the broader energy transition, as people shift away from fossil fuels, it remains a remarkably reliable generator of cash flow.
Stable, predictable cash.
Exactly. Stable, if not rapidly growing, source of funds.
So it's adapting, right? It's not just passively declining. The analysis mentions it's strategically pivoting, marketing biofuels and synthetic diesel like HVO100 through partnerships with major producers such as Neste.
Absolutely. That seems like a smart way to prolong its relevance. It's a smart strategic pivot for a mature, low-growth business. Its value is best assessed using a conservative multiple of its adjusted operating income, or EBITDA,
okay,
which stood at a consistent $44 million in 2023 and $45 million in 2024. It provides a stable base, generating predictable cash that can then be funneled into other, potentially higher growth, ventures within the Bolloré ecosystem.
And then we get to the really exciting, but also high stakes, part of the industrial portfolio. Blue Solutions. This is truly the high stakes call option for Bolloré.
The moonshot.
It feels like a venture capital investment tucked inside a traditional company.
It truly is. And it represents Bolloré's ambitious long-term wager on the future of EV battery technology. Blue Solutions is a pioneer in solid-state lithium metal polymer, or LMP, batteries.
LMP.
Which are fundamentally different from conventional lithium-ion batteries that rely on flammable liquid electrolytes. This distinction is crucial.
And the claimed advantages are significant, even groundbreaking. The source highlights enhanced safety because there are no flammable liquid electrolytes.
Big plus.
Potentially 40% greater energy density compared to conventional lithium ion, a remarkably longer life cycle of over 3,500 charge-discharge cycles, and a more sustainable composition, being free of cobalt and nickel.
Sounds amazing on paper.
It all sounds incredible. A real leap forward.
On paper, these advantages are indeed compelling. But here's the critical challenge that still needs to be overcome. The current generation of their technology requires a 4-hour charging time.
4 hours? Ouch.
That's perfectly viable for large commercial vehicles like buses, which they already supply, and a sector they've successfully penetrated. However, it's completely unacceptable for the passenger car market, where consumers expect rapid charging.
Yeah, nobody's waiting 4 hours.
Right. The company's roadmap is squarely focused on developing its GN4 battery, which aims to slash this charging time to a crucial 20 minutes, which would be a true game changer for mass adoption.
And it's a huge cash burn, isn't it? When I first saw those figures, I'll admit, my eyebrows shot up. It looks like a massive collapse in operating income.
It does look stark on the surface. The industry segment, which includes Blue Solutions, is clearly in a heavy investment phase. It reported negative EBITDA of $114 million in 2023 and a massive $179 million in 2024.
Minus $179 million. Wow.
It sounds like Bolloré is pouring hundreds of millions into this high-stakes R&D lab, betting big on a future breakthrough.
So how do they manage that cash burn?
Well, you've hit on a critical point. To mitigate those immense capital expenditures required to compete with the Asian battery giants, Blue Solutions has adopted a partnership-led commercialization strategy. They already supply batteries for Daimler's electric buses, which is a significant validation.
Okay, that's some.
Crucially, they've signed a joint development agreement, or JDA, with BMW to adapt their technology for passenger cars, and they are reportedly in discussions with Volkswagen for a similar partnership.
BMW and VW, those are big names.
Very big. This raises an important question. Is this a moonshot, a true venture capital style gamble, or a truly disruptive technology on the cusp of a breakthrough? For Bolloré, it's very much a venture capital style investment funded by its stable assets, with the potential for a disproportionate impact on its long-term valuation.
High risk, potentially enormous reward.
Exactly. It could fundamentally alter Bolloré's future.
Beyond these core operational holdings, the new Bolloré is also strategically deploying some of its vast cash pile into new financial investments. This indicates they're not just sitting on that cash.
That's a key observation. The most notable move so far was the acquisition of a stake in Rubis in March 2024. Rubis is a French company specializing in the storage and distribution of petroleum and chemical products, an adjacent industry to their legacy energy business.
Okay. Makes sense strategically.
Yeah. As of early 2025, this holding stood at nearly 6% with a market value of $163 million. This isn't a huge amount of capital in the grand scheme of their war chest, but it signals a clear willingness for them to take strategic minority positions in industries where management perceives value, expanding their investment footprint.
Now let's talk about the financial performance, and specifically that fortress balance sheet. The strategic overhaul has made direct comparisons to historical financials tricky, almost misleading.
Very misleading.
But the underlying transformation of their financial profile is undeniably stark and overwhelmingly positive.
Absolutely. If you look at the old numbers, say from 2022, transportation and logistics dominated their revenue, making up the vast majority of the group's $20.7 billion.
Right.
Fast forward to 2024, and reported revenue plummeted to just $3.1 billion, down from $13.7 billion in 2023. And their adjusted operating income, EBITDA, collapsed from $994 million in 2023 to a mere $1 million in 2024.
$1 million from nearly a billion. Those figures, taken at face value, look like a catastrophic decline.
They do, but they're incredibly misleading, aren't they? They don't reflect the true earnings power of the new Bolloré at all.
So those numbers don't tell the whole story?
Not at all, precisely. The economic reality is now primarily captured in the share of net income from equity accounted companies line item and the dividends received from their vast portfolio of holdings.
You have to look deeper.
You have to look through the consolidated statements to the underlying performance of UMG, Canal Plus, Havas, and Bolloré Energy to truly grasp the group's recurring cash generation capability. For example, in 2024, the EBITDA contribution from communications, which is primarily UMG, was a robust $207 million.
Okay, that's significant.
While Bolloré Energy contributed a consistent $45 million. So the earnings power is still very much there. It just resides in different line items and is measured differently, reflecting their shift from an operator to an investor.
The source provides a pro forma overview, estimating the contributions of key assets to Bolloré's value as of year-end 2024. It aggregates to a gross asset value, or GAV, of about $12.8 billion.
Right.
That includes UMG at around $8.7 billion, Canal Plus at about $0.8 billion, Havas at $0.4 billion, Louis Hachette Group at $1.0 billion, and the residual of Vivendi at another $1.0 billion. It's a significant portfolio.
And then the industrial and energy assets. Bolloré Energy at around $0.2 billion, Blue Solutions at an illustrative $0.5 billion, and other financial assets adding $0.2 billion.
That's crucial.
Crucially, on top of this GAV, you add that enormous net cash position of $5.3 billion. This takes us to a net asset value, or NAV, of approximately $18.1 billion. This table really provides the most accurate picture of where the value lies now. It's a complete reevaluation.
So we've talked about assets and strategy, but for many, the real proof is in the balance sheet. And this transformation, especially financially, seems truly radical. What does their new financial statement tell us?
Well, this is the game changer. The company has methodically moved from a position of substantial leverage to one of truly exceptional financial strength. The evolution of their net financial position is nothing short of astonishing.
Let's walk through that swing again.
Okay. Back at year-end 2020, they were saddled with a net debt of $9.1
billion. $9.1
billion
debt.
By year-end 2021, that was still $3.4 billion in net debt, but then came the sales. Year-end 2022 saw them swing dramatically to a net cash position of $1.2 billion after the sale of Bolloré Africa Logistics.
Okay, first big swing.
It temporarily went back to net debt of $1.5 billion at year-end 2023 due to the full consolidation of Vivendi's debt before its spinoff, a temporary accounting effect.
But the truly defining feature, the thing that changes everything, is that year-end 2024 figure. A staggering net cash position of $5.3
billion. $5.3 billion net cash.
This came after the sale of the global Bolloré Logistics and the Vivendi demerger. That cash pile is equivalent to over 30% of its $16.3 billion market capitalization as of March 2025.
Mm-hmm.
This company literally has a war chest now?
Precisely. This substantial liquidity provides an unparalleled degree of financial flexibility. It not only offers a significant margin of safety against macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainties, but it also equips management with a powerful tool for value creation. However, and this is crucial, that value creation is entirely dependent on whether that cash is allocated with discipline and strategic foresight. It's a superpower, but one that can be misused if not wielded carefully.
And that leads us perfectly into the next big topic, capital allocation. With this transformation largely complete and a multi-billion euro cash pile on its balance sheet, the central focus for Bolloré's management and for us, the listeners, is now squarely on how they plan to deploy this immense war chest. What's their stated philosophy?
Well, management has articulated a flexible capital allocation framework, which is what you'd expect from a newly minted investment holding company. They've stated that the group's financial solidity will enable it to pursue serenely its investments in its various businesses and perhaps in the future in new sectors.
Sounds flexible.
Very flexible. This approach is already evident in their recent actions, which demonstrate a clear commitment to both direct shareholder returns and strategic reinvestment into their portfolio and potentially new ventures.
And they're signaling confidence through their dividends, which have been rising consistently.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
The proposed dividend for the 2024 fiscal year is 0.08 per share, which is a 14% increase over the 0.07 per share paid for 2023. And that itself was a 17% increase over 2022.
So a consistent history of increasing payments, which provides a regular growing cash return to investors. It's a strong sign of management's belief in sustainable cash generation.
And beyond dividends, they've been buying back shares aggressively, haven't they?
Yes, particularly aggressive in repurchasing its own shares, clearly viewing them as undervalued by the market. In 2023, they launched a simplified cash tender offer, acquiring 99.1 million of their own shares for $570 million.
Huge buyback.
Then in 2024, they acquired an additional 12 million shares for $69 million through their ongoing open market buyback program.
And here's the crucial detail that makes these buybacks so powerful. The board of directors has consistently followed these repurchases with the cancellation of the acquired shares.
Right. Cancellation is key.
They canceled 101.5 million shares in January 2024 and a further 22.7 million shares in May 2025. This practice is directly accretive to the remaining shareholders. Think of it this way. If the company is a pie and you own a slice, share buybacks reduce the total number of slices. When they then cancel those shares,
your slice gets bigger.
Exactly. Your existing slice of the pie suddenly becomes a larger percentage of the whole, increasing your ownership of the company and your claim on its underlying assets and future earnings without you having to do anything at all. It's a potent lever for shareholder value.
It absolutely is a powerful way to return value and concentrate ownership. But beyond direct shareholder returns, capital is also being deployed to strengthen the existing portfolio and, significantly, to simplify that convoluted corporate structure, which is a key initiative aimed directly at tackling the holding company discount.
Ah, simplification. Investing in structural repair, as you put it.
Exactly. We've already discussed the strategic investments, like that $197 million purchase of additional UMG shares in July 2024 to fortify their crown jewel, and the acquisition of that 6% stake in Rubis for $163 million represents the first significant new investment, indicating a clear strategy of deploying capital into strategic minority positions.
Flexing their new investor muscle.
But the corporate simplification aspect is critically important. It's a nuanced but very powerful use of capital. In September 2024, Bolloré SC announced its intention to launch public buyout offers for the shares of several subsidiary holding companies within its pyramid, Compagnie du Cambodge, Financière Montsey, and Société Industrielle et Financière de l'Artois.
Buying out minority shareholders in those subsidiaries.
Yes, and these offers give minority shareholders the option to tender their shares for either cash or UMG shares.
So these buyouts aren't about adding new operating assets, are they? They're an investment in simplifying the corporate structure itself, essentially buying back layers of complexity.
Precisely. This capital deployment serves a dual mandate. The first is traditional value creation through investing in growth assets and returning cash. The second, and perhaps more sophisticated purpose, is what I call structural repair. These buyouts directly attack the root cause of the holding company, discount, that complexity and opacity.
Right, the nested entities.
Exactly. Therefore, capital allocated to these buyouts should be viewed as an investment in achieving a higher future valuation multiple for the entire group, representing a powerful self-help catalyst for unlocking shareholder value. It makes the structure easier to understand and value.
Which should help the share price.
Yeah.
Looking at their major capital deployments from 2023 to 2024, it sums up to around $1.2
billion. Yeah, significant deployment.
That includes $570 million for the 2023 share buyback tender offer, another $69 million for the 2024 open market buyback, roughly $200 million for dividends paid in 2024 for fiscal year 2023, the $197 million for UMG shares, and the $163 million for the Rubis stake.
It shows a very active and diversified approach to deploying that cash, not just letting it sit idly. With this transformation nearing completion, the investment case for Bolloré SE is heavily reliant on the realization of several key catalysts that could unlock the value embedded within its portfolio and corporate structure.
And these aren't just hopes, right? Some are tangible actions.
Exactly. Some are direct, measurable actions being taken by management, giving them more control over their own destiny.
And the biggest lever, the most significant potential driver of shareholder value, is narrowing that holding company discount.
Absolutely. Historically, the market applied a substantial discount to Bolloré's shares relative to the underlying value of its assets due to its complexity and family control. It was that basket of fruits where you got a deal, but for the wrong reasons.
But things are changing now.
Yes, several factors are now actively working to close this gap. We've talked about the increased transparency from the Vivendi spinoff, the aggressive and accretive share buyback program, and the deliberate strategy of simplifying the corporate pyramid through those minority buyouts.
It's discount harder to justify.
Exactly. As the structure becomes cleaner and the value of the underlying assets becomes more apparent, the justification for a large discount diminishes. It should naturally narrow, potentially significantly, rewarding shareholders with a re-rating of the stock.
Then there's the secular growth in their core media assets. Bolloré is incredibly well-positioned to benefit from powerful, long-term trends in the media industry.
Definitely. The continued global adoption of music streaming, for example, provides a direct and recurring growth tailwind for their substantial stake in UMG. This isn't a one-off hit, it's a fundamental shift.
Unstoppable momentum,
Yeah.
almost.
Simultaneously, Canal+ Group's strategic expansion into high-growth emerging markets in Africa and Asia offers a long-term runway for subscriber and revenue growth, complementing its stable, cash-generative base in France. These are multi-decade shifts Bolloré is directly exposed to.
And we can't forget the technological breakthrough at Blue Solutions. That's a massive but risky catalyst that could totally change the story.
Indeed. Any major technological milestone, such as successfully demonstrating a 20-minute charge time for its GEN4 passenger car battery, would be a transformative event,
A real game changer.
turning a speculative investment into a validated technology leader. Similarly, the formalization of a large-scale joint development and manufacturing agreement with a major global automaker, like Volkswagen, would validate the technology and could trigger a substantial re-rating of the industry segment.
Takes it from R&D burn to high growth asset.
Potentially, it's
Yeah.
almost a binary outcome for this particular holding.
And finally, that value accretive capital deployment we discussed. With a net cash position exceeding $5.3 billion, management certainly has the firepower to execute a truly transformational acquisition.
They do.
So what kind of impact could that have?
A large, disciplined, and value accretive acquisition in a new or adjacent business line could significantly boost the group's earnings power and net asset value per share, providing a clear catalyst for stock price appreciation. This is the ultimate test of their new identity as a pure investment holding company.
How well they spend that cash.
Exactly. Their ability to identify and execute on such opportunities will be a defining feature of the new Bolloré.
Of course, no investment is without risk. Despite the positive catalysts, an investment in Bolloré SE comes with significant risks that need careful consideration. What would you say is the single greatest risk they face with this massive cash pile?
The single greatest risk facing the company is undoubtedly capital misallocation, or what some analysts rather wryly call de-worsification.
Diversification, I like that.
There is a very real risk that management could deploy that $5.3 billion war chest into value-destructive acquisitions in unrelated fields or overpay significantly for assets in competitive auction processes.
So the risk is they misuse the superpower.
Exactly. For you, the listener, the future performance of the stock is heavily dependent on disciplined and shareholder-focused capital allocation. This cash is a superpower, as we said, but it can also be misused, leading to a negative impact on shareholder returns.
There's also the risk of a persistent valuation discount. Despite all of management's ongoing efforts to simplify the structure and return capital, the market may simply continue to apply a steep holding company discount. Why might that happen?
Well, it could be due to a number of factors. The continued family-controlled structure, which some institutional investors view with skepticism, the inherent complexity of managing a still diverse portfolio of assets, even if more streamlined, or maybe just a general lack of long-term investor confidence in the capital allocation strategy.
So the market might just not buy the story yet.
Right. The catalyst for narrowing the discount may take longer to materialize than anticipated, or they may not be fully reflected in the share price, even if they do, simply due to market inertia or a lack of understanding.
And let's not forget geopolitical and regulatory risk. The group has significant exposure to emerging markets, particularly through Canal, plus its large and growing presence in Africa.
That introduces considerable risk. Geopolitical instability, regulatory changes, currency risks. It's a very dynamic part of the world. Political instability, changes in government policy, or sharp currency devaluations in key African markets could negatively impact Canal Plus earnings and valuations significantly.
And regulation in Europe, too.
Oh, yeah. The broader media industry in Europe is subject to stringent and evolving regulatory scrutiny, especially around competition and content, which always presents an overhead and potential for disruption, requiring constant adaptation.
And then that high-risk, high-reward Blue Solutions battery venture. There's a material risk of technological failure here. It's not a guaranteed success.
Indeed. There's a real chance that their LMP technology fails to achieve its performance targets, especially the crucial reduction in charging time required for passenger car adoption.
Competition is fierce, too.
Absolutely. The solid-state battery space is intensely competitive, with the risk that Blue Solutions could be leapfrogged by competing technologies from better-capitalized Asian or American rivals. A failure to commercialize the technology would result in the write-off of decades of investment and eliminate a key long-term growth option for the group.
A costly failure if it happens.
Very costly. It is, for now, a very binary outcome.
And finally, competition in media. The media landscape remains intensely competitive across the board, always evolving.
Always. Canal Plus faces ongoing pressure from global streaming giants like Netflix and Disney Plus Way, which have vastly larger content budgets and global reach. Havas competes against larger, more scaled global advertising networks, constantly battling for client spend.
Constant need to innovate.
Exactly. Both entities must continually innovate and invest heavily to maintain their competitive positions and profitability in a very dynamic industry where consumer habits and advertising trends shift rapidly.
Given Bolloré SE's structure as a holding company with its diverse portfolio of distinct assets, the sum of the parts, or SOTP, valuation is absolutely the most appropriate and insightful methodology for assessing its intrinsic value. So how do we actually value this multifaceted company?
That's right. This approach values each business segment or asset individually and then sums them up to derive a total enterprise value from which net debt, or in Bolloré's case, net cash, is adjusted to arrive at a net asset value, or NAV. It's the most transparent way to see what you're truly getting.
So let's walk through the components of this SOTP framework. For the listed assets, the value of Bolloré's stakes in publicly traded companies is quite transparent, which is a huge benefit after their demergers.
Much clearer now.
It's determined by their real-time market prices, like Universal Music Group, the newly listed Canal Plus Havas, Louis Chet Group, the residual Vivendi entity, and their stake in Rubis. This portion of the NAV is highly transparent and objectively verifiable.
But then you have the unlisted industrial assets. For Bolloré Energy, the cash cow we discussed, it's valued using a peer-based EBITDA multiple, given its stable but low growth profile.
Right, conservative multiple.
Conservative multiple in the range of 4.0x to 6.0x applied to its 2024 EBITDA of $45 million is appropriate. This gets us to an approximate value of around $225 million for that segment, foundational piece.
And Blue Solutions, the industry segment, is clearly the most challenging component to value. Because it's pre-revenue and has significant operating losses, that negative EBITDA of $179 million in 2024, a traditional earnings-based valuation, just isn't feasible.
No, you can't really use earnings. Precisely. For this analysis, a conservative book value approach is used in the primary SOTP calculation to reflect that high degree of uncertainty, illustrative at around $375 million.
Okay, book value for now.
Now, for the listener, it's important to acknowledge that a base case might try to use valuation metrics from publicly traded, pre-commercialization, solid-state battery peers such as QuantumScape or Solid Power. However, that approach is highly speculative and subject to wide variations given the early stage of the technology.
So stick with conservative for the main calculation.
Right. That's why a more conservative approach is safer for the primary valuation here, but it's important to remember its potential for significant upside or downside.
And of course, you add that massive consolidated net cash position of $5.306 billion as of December 31st, 2024, directly into the calculation.
Straight addition. Corporate costs, given the scale of the net cash, are considered negligible in the overall picture.
So when you sum all these parts up,
we get a gross asset value, or GAV, of approximately $12,825 million. This includes the listed median investments at around $11,825 million, with UMG making up the bulk of that at $8,714 million.
UMG is the giant piece.
Then Canal Plus is around $790 million, Louis Hachette at $1,009 million, Havas at $426 million, the residual Vivendi at $1,023 million, and other financial assets at $200 million. It's a truly diversified and valuable portfolio.
And the industrial and energy assets contribute another $600 million, split between Bolloré Energy at $225 million and Blue Solutions at that illustrative $375 million.
Right. When you add that $5,306 million in net cash to the GAV, you arrive at a total net asset value, or NAV, of approximately $18,131 million.
$18.1 billion NAV. That's the estimated intrinsic value.
With 2,827 million shares outstanding after all this buybacks and cancellations, the NAV per share comes out to approximately 6.41.
Okay, 6.41 NAV per share. When you compare that to the share price of 5.73 as of March 14th, 2025, it implies a holding company discount of about 10.6%. So what does that 10.6% discount actually tell us?
That's a key insight because, historically, complex family-controlled European holding companies have traded at discounts ranging from 15% to 30%. Or even more.
So 10.6% is actually quite narrow compared to historical norms.
It is. The analysis suggests that the market may already be pricing in some of the positive effects of Bolloré's simplification strategy and increased transparency. However, there remains potential for this discount to narrow further, or even for the stock to trade at a premium, should management execute flawlessly on its capital allocation strategy, and if Blue Solutions achieves that major technological breakthrough.
Suggests the market is starting to get the new Bolloré.
It seems so, at least partially.
We also have to consider the sensitivity of this valuation. It's highly sensitive to UMG's market value and that speculative value assigned to Blue Solutions. So what truly moves the needle for Bolloré's valuation?
Well, a 10% increase or decrease in the market value of UMG, for instance, would change Bolloré's NAV per share by approximately 0.31. This shows just how much UMG is the core driver of their value.
Significant impact from UMG.
And the impact of Blue Solutions is almost binary. If you were to value Blue Solutions higher, say at $1.5 billion, which is still a fraction of its publicly traded peers, it could add approximately 0.40 to the NAV per share. Conversely, a complete write-off of Blue Solutions would reduce the NAV per share by roughly 0.13.
So it highlights the importance of UMG's continued performance and the high-risk, high-reward nature of Blue Solutions.
Exactly. It's the high-stakes gamble they've chosen to take alongside their more stable assets.
So let's wrap this up. Bolloré SE has undergone a truly remarkable journey, transforming itself from a diversified industrial conglomerate, that sprawling octopus, into a focused investment holding company, that nimble shark.
Quite the transformation.
It's now armed with a massive cash pile and a portfolio of dynamic assets, including the global leader Universal Music Group, the expanding Canal Plus Group, and the ambitious high-stakes bet on Blue Solutions. The core objective for Bolloré now is clearly to unlock that holding company discount.
Get the market to see the value.
To get the market to fully appreciate the sum of its valuable parts.
They've done the hard work of divesting complex, capital-intensive businesses and simplifying parts of their structure. The question now shifts from what they own to how they deploy their considerable financial strength and, crucially, how effectively they communicate that value to the market.
Which brings us to a provocative thought for you, the listener. Bolloré's transformation is clear, but its future hinges on how wisely that $5.3 billion war chest is deployed. What kind of acquisitions or strategic moves beyond what we've discussed today would you want to see from a company with such immense financial firepower?
It's an interesting thought experiment, isn't it? What other indicators might you look for to assess a company's success in navigating such a complex transformation? Or maybe explore the concept of holding company discounts in your own investment research. We encourage you to keep asking those deep, probing questions.